news now of the Fitzwilliam Museum, which has an important anniversary tomorrow, as Tony Barnfield has been hearing from Tim Knox and Rachel Sinfield.
The 7th Viscount Fitzwilliam of Merion died on the 4th of February 1816, and in his will he left a bequest to the University of Cambridge of his art collection and also £100,000 so that a museum could be built to house this wonderful collection.
Was it enough to do that?
It was enough to do that. A big architectural competition was held, but actually the front hall wasn't finished until the 1870s because they did run out of money and had to wait for some interest to accrue on the original settlement.
It's a bit like cathedrals. They're built very often over decades.
Well, it's interesting you say cathedral because the original architect who won the competition was called George Bassavy, and he did the original design and the foundation stone was laid in 1837, but he died mid-project because he was also working on Ely Cathedral and he fell from the tower. So another architect had to come in to finish and interpret his designs through to the end.
You can actually see the memorial to him in Ely Cathedral, can't you?
Yes, you can.
The Fitzwilliam today, is it still doing what was conceived 200 years ago?
Well, yes, it is. Viscount Fitzwilliam very much wanted his art collection to go to the University of Cambridge because he wanted it to be used for learning. And learning, in a way, both in an informal and a formal sense, is at the very heart of what we do at the museum. Our curatorial colleagues, we have 5 different curatorial divisions, and there is research going on into our collection in each of those divisions, and a certain amount of university teaching. But our learning department ensures that actually there are programmes on offer for schools, for community audiences. We have programmes for the blind and partially sighted, so we have many different forms of learning going on here.
We're perched here on stools, Rachel, with works by John Constable behind us and goodness knows what. Do you tend to put artists together or theme the exhibitions, the standard exhibitions, that is?
Yes, in our permanent collections, we have over 30 galleries, and I suppose for anybody who enjoys sorting things, this is a wonderful activity, really, in the museum. We do try to bring together in one gallery. And this is our 19th century British gallery. So on a landscape side, we have John Constable. We also have works here by Turner. And we're sitting beneath a huge landscape by Edward Lear, who perhaps is better known for his nonsense poems. But also in this gallery, we have some works by the Pre-Raphaelite artists, John Everett Millais and Holman Hunt. And our collection is not just paintings. The 5 divisions range from paintings, drawings and prints through to antiquities, and there is applied arts on the way and coins and medals. In this gallery where we're sitting, you see that we've got pieces of furniture and we also have carpets on the floor. And this is a kind of display style that was instigated in the 1930s by our then director, who was called Sidney Cockrell. He said he found the Fitzwilliam a pigsty and turned it into a palace, but he liked the idea that you could walk into a room and that it had a feeling of being lived in and more of a country house appearance. And it is a sort of display style that we've stuck to. So, as I said, the permanent collection is sorted into different galleries, but displayed alongside furniture and carpets and statues.
Well, I'm going to talk to Tim Knox shortly, the director of the museum today, about what's specially being done to mark the anniversary, so we'll avoid that topic right now. But can I take you back to the 19th century, to 1816, when I think it was a little bit of an elitist museum?
Well, in 1816 there was nothing on this site because it was land belonging to Peterhouse College, but of course that's the date of the bequest. But we were able to buy this site from Peterhouse, and originally, yes, I think perhaps the access guidelines for the museum were not as enlightened as they are today.
And there's a book, or in fact 2 books, I think, coming out to mark the anniversary.
Yes, already stocked in our shop. We have 2 books to mark the anniversary. One of them is the official history of the museum, and this has been researched through our archives by one of our assistant directors, Dr. Lucilla Byrne, who is also the keeper of our antiquities department. And she has researched our archives and old photographs and has come up with a wonderful book, which is retailing in the shop for £20. However, if somebody wanted to have a guide to take them around the museum that they can hold in their hands, Our shop, Fitzwilliam Museum Enterprises, has produced a handbook to the museum that's retailing at £7.99, and it has a selection of objects and a bit of information and beautiful images, which again is a wonderful way to commemorate the bicentenary.
And you've quite a detailed website as well.
We have a very detailed website, and we always try to have a homepage story. For the anniversary, we're going to be running an object of the month feature, so there will be a little video about one object. We're going to have a different one each month. For January, we have a terracotta statue by Rubiliac of the composer Handel, which connects to our music collections as well. But for February, of course, we have to have a portrait of Viscount Fitzwilliam, our founder, which was painted when he was a young man of 21 by the artist Joseph Wright of Derby. You can also, through our website, investigate the events that we have going on and delve deeper into knowledge about our collections.
Well, Rachel Sinfield, thank you very much indeed for that. I'm off now to meet the director. How long has he been here, out of interest?
Tim has been here for 3 years, so he's a relative newcomer. He came to us from the Sir John Soane Museum in London, and before that he'd worked for the National Trust.
Well, I'm now with Tim Knox. You've been here 3 years, I think.
Nearly 3 years, Tony. Yeah, that's right. I'm enjoying every minute of it.
Is it a place you'd been many times before, the Fitzwilliam?
I knew the Fitzwilliam. I thought I knew the Fitzwilliam very well indeed. I'd come here as a child and I'd come, you know, from time to time to see things. And it's always been a favourite museum of mine. But, of course, when you actually get under the skin of an institution like this, you realise that actually you're a complete tyro. And actually, I've been, over the last few years, I've been learning a lot about it. It's been fascinating.
Rather nice to have the anniversary, the 200th anniversary, in your reign as director. Going back to 1816, there weren't that many actual items to display.
Well, Lord Fitzwilliam's bequest in 1816 rectified a serious deficiency in the University of Cambridge, because unlike Oxford, which had had a museum, the Ashmolean, since the 17th century, the University of Cambridge had no museum. There'd been countless plans for one, and the antiquities and various other things that people had given them over the years moped rather miserably in the foyer to the university library. So Lord Fitzwilliam's gift galvanised the university into doing something about it, but it was also accompanied by 140-odd old master paintings, wonderful Titians, Veroneses, Palma Vecchios, and so on, Dutch pictures too, illuminated manuscripts, a library of about 10,000 rare books, wonderful rare imprints and illustrated books, and a great collection of old master prints, and they're all arranged in 200 albums. And then finally, the oddest of them all, Lord Fitzwilliam's particular passion was harpsichord music, and we have a very important group of original scores by Handel, Scarlatti and other composers. And that's what came with the gift of money.
Now you've got quite a lot more in the museum.
Well, one of the things we're celebrating is not just Viscount Fitzwilliam's generosity, but actually since that time there's been this kind of extraordinary tradition of generosity here in Cambridge, of people giving their collections, bequeathing, and so on. And if you walk around the galleries of the museum and look at the labels, it's amazing how many things were given as compared to being purchased. And we now have about 500,000 objects.
You've got two special exhibitions going along, I think both starting in February.
This year, the bicentenary year, we're having two major exhibitions and then a host of smaller ones. But in February, we have the big exhibition of the first half of the year is Death on the Nile, which looks at ancient Egyptian burial practices, particularly the famous coffins, the mummy cases that we all know and love. And we've got a very good collection of them here in Cambridge, ranging from a kind of humble basket burial right through to the very elaborate painted and gilded coffins of the 18th dynasty. And then it goes through this extraordinary sort of decline in the Roman period. But then they also do these rather beautiful painted portraits, encaustic wax portraits set into the cases. So we're going to have a good examination of that. And the other exhibition is on the Fitzwilliam Museum, 1816 to 2016, looking at the history of the museum.
And I know you've said in some publicity that you're going to have a major acquisition this year. Any closer to announcing that?
Well, yes, indeed. I mean, I have a great hope that we will give the museum a great birthday present for its 200th birthday. And negotiations are in train for a really splendid, in fact, a couple of rather splendid things. I'm not yet in a position to be able to reveal them to the astonished public, but they will probably be more than we can afford, and we'll have to organise a little appeal. So please be very generous and kind to us, because it's a wonderful way of enriching an already fabulous collection.
Tim Knox, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Tony.